Lynn Slonica's in the house.
Good morning.
Yeah, she's up to something.
You know, well, I have to say, you unwittingly played the perfect transition music for me this morning, because speaking of the police, I just want to acknowledge the work of the Hudson Police Department last
HPD.
Night. We had an SOS here at the studio. Our alarm went off. 12:30.
Ooh.
And I arrived to find four of Hudson's finest waiting for me.
All right.
Doing their job. They were very nice. I don't know all four of them. I know one of them, Rodney Waith. He waited and to make sure I got out okay. So
all right.
Just want to say thank you.
HPD, I said, you know me. All right.
Yeah,
all right,
so
HPD. Thank
they
you.
They were great.
Yep.
But as for education news, well, as of today, I'm pretty sure everyone within the sound of my voice is back to school.
Yes.
Includes parents and kids.
Everyone's being schooled.
Yeah. The quiet at home has overtaken all that craziness the last 2 months. I think everybody in Columbia and Greene County started last week. Yesterday, Kingston started. I think Saugerties started late last week. So everyone's back. Just to run through some of the local news. In Hudson, there's been, well, let's see, we haven't talked for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
So some of this, the drama over the Columbia Green Partnership Academy has...
It's killing me. go ahead, talk about it.
Well, yeah, it's now it's turned into sort of this bureaucratic mess. We've gone beyond the local business owners' objections to its location on Warren Street. That issue was... sort of bypassed by some technical, and you know, it still remains to be seen whether they've been able to overcome some of the legal and administrative issues. The first was remedied last week when the governor finally signed, it was the Tuesday after Labor Day, signed the legislation that actually created the remote campus for Berkshire, allows them to run the facility at 364 Warren. However, the bigger issue right now, so that means, just to backtrack, that means that the kids who have been placed at Berkshire as day placement students for various reasons, whether it be by their local committee for special ed, whether it be by the courts, whatever manner got them there, they can now attend school at that location, technically. That provides for that school to exist. However, and that only really constitutes, I think, 10 to 12 of the 55 that were committed to be at that location. The remainder are alternative ed students, and those are not all special ed students. So under state law, in order to place regular ed students out of district, you have to have a district referendum to allow students to be placed elsewhere. There, I think the rationale behind that is that you're spending taxpayer money to put kids in another location, so you need taxpayer permission to do
right.
so. The other thing is that in New York, there's no such thing as cross-registration. Some states, there is that possibility. Mm-hmm. So if you live in Chatham and you want your child to go to New Lebanon School District, for instance, and for whatever reason,
right,
if you place your child there, you have to pay tuition.
Right.
With cross-registration, that wouldn't be necessary. That means that you could put your kid wherever you wanted them to go. It kind of opens an odd door. To consider in New York, something that's been resisted for a long time. So anyway, long story short, this whole thing opens up a whole can of worms. Kathleen Farrell, the superintendent in Catskill, immediately withdrew her alternative ed kids. There wasn't any discussion there. They're not crossing the river this year, as far as I know. But Hudson is standing firm. They went out, found a legal opinion that is contrary to state ed's opinion. Now the latest thing, it's on the news blog today, they've announced that location will not open until January. They're saying that because the work wasn't done, but now, I think that they're...
Now the children that are not going to be able to go, and they're going back to their school districts, what do their school districts have to do with... What are school districts are going to do with them? What are they going to do?
Well, see, that's the big question.
Yes.
In Hudson, and it there's also an administrator from Hudson who was placed at this location specifically to serve this population. He now has to go back to the high school. Presumably, he's looking over those 20, 22 kids that are now in general population mm-hmm. in the high school. There are no provisions on an instructional level, on a curricular level. They're just thrown back in there without any kind of safety net, which is why they have a problem to begin with.
Yeah, I'm
eliminated that program and just tossed them into the bigger pot.
I'm sitting here, my head is popping off. You're saying I've got a problem, so I think I'll create another problem to solve my problem.
Well, and there is a real issue with how...
Yeah.
How this was planned out
right.
and executed.
Oh, not planned out.
Yeah, whatever the case may be. Oh. I mean, I appreciate the fact that they had this great idea, but I don't understand how anybody in the state of New York thinks you can pull something like this off in less than 6 months. So, but the bigger, and in Hudson too, the bigger question is, how do you justify having a principal manage only 20 kids in one school? It's a wacky thing. So I'm sure this will play out over a period of months. We'll be watching, but unfortunately,
the people who will be suffering the most will be the children.
Absolutely, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. I mean, let's see if there are 20 of them left when they get to January.
Unreal.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to watch. It really is very hard
to
watch.
It's hard to listen to.
Yeah,
it's really painful.
Yeah. A couple of other Hudson things on the list. Last night they hired new high school principal, excuse me, Tinny Abitabel, who's been acting principal. That was kind of a done deal. They made it appear that they were doing a legitimate search, but mm-hmm. he pretty much had it in the bag. And they also created and filled a position for dean of students. Actually, I take that back. They had already created the dean of students position. And so that was business conducted last night. And there's chatter about increasing the size of that board to 9 members from 7. They seem to think they need more people at the table. Concerns about not having a sufficient number of people at meetings. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay.
In Germantown, just a little note that their new superintendent started with the beginning of the school year. That's Sue Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She was their elementary principal. She's a former assistant principal in the Hudson District, very well thought of here. A lot of people were quite dismayed when Germantown stole her away. But she started her year, so we'll see what happens over there.
Oh, good luck. Good
and, luck. And the other thing is, speaking of Germantown, there was a young man who is a senior at Germantown High School. I'm hoping we can get him on the radio. I was thinking he would be a great person for you to talk to. His name is Devin Overington. He was honored with an award, a humanitarian award. It's the Gene M. Kuhn Humanitarian Award for his work in Germantown. And just to run down some of the things that he's done, keeping in mind he's a senior in high school. He's helped the Germantown Public Library with its computer systems since he was 12 years old. He's an Eagle Scout, created a PowerPoint presentation for Germantown's 300th anniversary. He's a member of the National Honor Society and SAD, and is active with the Germantown Drama Club.
Wow.
So he's quite a star.
All right.
So we need to get him on the radio
and
talk
to
him
about young Mr. Overington,
his past, present, and future. So, other news: Ichabod Crane, their newish superintendent over there, George Zinni. He came over from Western Massachusetts after he retired.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he's decided he wants to continue being a superintendent, and he's doing it in New York now. He made a presentation on their test results. Of course, everybody statewide is sort of still reeling from the results of last year. This is the first year that tests have covered core curriculum, and they also have raised the standards. And people are just, because people are just kind of amazed at how poorly students performed, and that's pretty much across the board. He made a report in a recent meeting to his Board of Ed, and he had a lot to say about how the state has chosen to sort of roll out the core curriculum, comparing it to his experience in Massachusetts, saying over there they did it over a 3-year period. Here it was 1 year, and then you were in the soup right away. So he was quite critical of that whole thing. On a community note there, there's still, I don't know if people remember from last spring, that Board of Ed was making plans to do some strategic planning for the district, and they put out a call for community members to participate. They're still looking for people to participate on that committee. The deadline for applying is September 20th, and you should be able to get whatever information you need from the central office. You have to be a member of the district, but they're looking at everybody across the board. Business owners, you don't necessarily have to have a child in the school or be a graduate. And they are adding a student rep to their Board of Ed. That will be on their referendum in May, but they're a non-voting member. A lot of districts are doing that now. Hudson has had one now, I think, for about 3 years. They don't vote, and they don't deliberate in executive session, but they participate in the public meeting, and they report on what's going on in the school, student activities and things like that.
Okay.
Which is very nice. And Caro Durham. you know that little character in Peanuts where the cloud follows him around? It's kind of like Caro Durham.
Continues. And
this is not to make light of some real issues over there.
Who didn't know that this was not going to end?
Well, it's they had a group of people. A number of things have happened in the last couple of weeks. A group of residents, presumably mostly parents, met with Assembly Member Pete Lopez a couple of weeks ago, brought their concerns to him about the grade realignment plan at the elementary level, expressed concerns about the transportation issues and about the condition of the Durham building, which has recently surfaced. I know it's been a conversation within that community for a while, but it's just now sort of made it to the surface of the larger conversation. It's a 75-year-old building. It used to house about 140 kids. Now they have more, I think, around twice that number with the realignment plan that puts everybody in the district between grades K and second in that building. There were some holes in the floor, some things like that. So all of these things have been part of the conversation. First day of school was tough. There were some kids who spent 2 hours on the bus.
Yeah, when
home.
I read that, and we were talking about that. Exactly. When they do the rollout, they really need to make sure that it's as close to perfect as possible.
Yeah, yeah, but 2 hours
like
on the bus.
It seems like they missed it by a long shot.
So I don't know how things have, they started school Thursday, so they've actually not only been in school for 3 days. Today's their fourth day, so we'll see how it works in the coming week.
I don't think there's anything that can get a parent's ginned up than their child being 2 hours.
I know. That's awful.
Wow.
It really is awful. Yeah. And then today, the story is children from that particular school, from the Durham school, came home with a letter saying that there was a water problem at the school.
Yes.
It had low chlorine level, so they immediately turned off the water fountains and brought in bottled water. And under the health guidelines, of course, it'll be at least 2 days before they can clear it for use, because they have to have 2 days of clean tests in order to be have the problem resolved.
That,
so
that, folks, goes under the column of oy vey.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, what better way to take a break than to go to the water fountain?
Yeah,
now
right.
You can't
now
do that.
Now you can't even go to the water fountain.
I used to live for those moments.
And of all school districts to have.
I know. It's
you know, they didn't want any problems.
No.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things move along in the first month of school. And that's really on the education front. Just two quick announcements program-wise. We are going to carry Pacifica's broadcast of President Obama's address tonight regarding
the Syrian issue.
That will begin at 9 o'clock, so it'll take out about a half hour of low tide and the first half hour of Battlefield Earth.
All right.
We just heard from Pacifica on that one. And the other thing is for people who might be noticing a difference in our signal, you might be having a little trouble bringing it in, or we might be a little weak. We are weak this week. That's because we have some workmen up on the tower. And so we have to reduce our signal slightly and so that we don't
fry them.
Yeah. So if you notice something, it's because there is something a little different. We're hoping that we can be back to our usual by the end of the week.
That's why I was complaining yesterday afternoon while I was driving and listening to my favorite radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM, in Chatham, and going, I always get a strong signal here.
I know.
So now I know why.
I have to tease it a little bit more on my dial on my little radio upstairs. Yeah. You know, it just takes a little while. But we're still here.
We are here, and we are getting ready to start our fund drive. WGXC morning show listeners, step up to the plate.
Right.
Don't be playing around.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that for people who are unaware or uninitiated, there is our sustaining supporter option.
That is correct.
You can do any time, day or night, any time of the year, whether we're having a pledge drive or not.
$5 a month.
Yeah, go on to our website and choose the monthly donation option.
$15 a month.
It's painless. It's painless,
$500
and it will make you feel really good.
It will make us feel really good.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to know that money is coming in. It helps tremendously, but it's also a smart way to give.
It takes a community to get community radio.
Right.
Thank you, Lynn Slonica.
Oh, you're welcome.
For bringing us up to date on the edumacation. It is starting to rain outside, and this is the first week. So I'll give that warning once again, folks, as we're not used to seeing the little tots dashing back and forth. Yesterday, coming into the circle on Chatham, a young man was sitting on his handlebars riding his bicycle backwards. He was facing the opposite direction. And I said, school started. And he didn't have a care in the world.
Yeah, it's that undeveloped frontal lobe.
Yes. So, folks, just be a little bit more careful when you're out and about. This is WGXC 90.7 FM. Don't blame it on me. Blame it on the boogie.